Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Presence is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Peace is everywhere. Joy is everywhere. These are eternal qualities, not merely the absence of conflict. These are eternal qualities that are real, but they need instrumentality through which to express truth.
From Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, California, a visionary, author, one of the teachers of The Secret.
Everything is energy. Energy is never destroyed, never created, and it becomes exactly what you put your attention on. And there's enough for everyone.
Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith are coming to Atlanta's Hillside International Truth Center with Living from the Overflow, How to Embody a Consciousness of Wealth, Saturday, September 7th.
So we are not here to beg God to come down and give us a miracle. You are the miracle. You're the miracle already. And the present is waiting for you to up-level your filaments, your wattage, so that that which is potential, that is everywhere, can have access so that you can express it.
This soul-filled, thought-provoking workshop will teach you ways to cultivate a spiritual understanding of authentic wealth, how to activate the law of abundance in all areas of your life, how to set your intention and focus your attention, your ticket to transformation. Michael Bernard Beckwith at Hillside, Saturday, September 7th. Tickets are only $42, representing Hillside's 42nd anniversary. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org.
God of my spirit, supreme inspiration.
Think of the shortbread, touchy nut bar. How many cheeks?
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you, my brother. Yes, yes, yes. It's time to expand. It's time to grow. It's time to fall in love with yourself. Why? Because I say so. You can. We are getting ready to go deeper, to get clear about the truth of who and what we are, where we can give ourselves permission to be free, permission to love, permission to understand, permission to be compassionate, permission to be kind, because you have a new awareness about who you are and where you are. This is Bridget Bryant, Rolling River God. We'll be right back.
Rolling River God, little stones are smooth.
Lord, I
As long as I allow the water of love, of compassion, of understanding to just bathe me, I will be smooth. But right where I am, all is well. I remind myself that I am one with the one. I don't judge where I'm at. I don't judge others where they are, because I really don't know anything about their soul agreement. So I'm just going to focus on myself as a stone that is full of faith. On this rock, I will build my church. Now, that's some power right there. That was Bridget Bryant. BridgetBryant.com is where you can find her. And she was singing at Agape International Spiritual Center, reminding us all that all is well right where you are, and you can just chill out. Because God ain't tripping. Why are you tripping? Rolling River God. Let's roll on and keep moving and keep just softening our edges, knowing that every experience that we've gone through is divine. It's part of the plan, because we are all part of a divine plan, and you can't mess your life up. You ain't strong enough to mess up your life. Woo! Let's welcome all of you right now. Thank you all for being here. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and you make a difference. Because when change is inspired in you, you can't help but be different. Because the minute you catch the inspiration, the in-breath, the breath of God, you become someone's different. Now you have a choice to keep playing small, or you can yield to the inspiration and say, even though I don't know how, I say yes. And then you spread your light, you spread your love, you give of yourself, and oh, you see differences all around you. Wow, it's a different world I'm living in. Things have just changed. It was better than when I was young. It's because you've changed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am your host. I am presence. It's the host and is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, the nutty professor, the metaphysical doctor. I keep running out of names. Okay, just give me some names. Give me some names. Just call it out. Whatever you want to call me, just call me that name. Because whatever you call me is simply a reflection of your consciousness. So I'm not even worried. You can call me whatever you want. You can say, yo, what's up? I'll answer. Because I am that I am, and I am one with you. I want to welcome all of you listening on the phone lines and the archive. Yes, thank you, archive listeners, and those of you who listen to the show live and come back. And those of you who are listening live, thank you. Come here. Let's have a group hug. I'm feeling I'm full of love today. I'm full of myself. Come here. Get closer. Stop tripping. Get closer. Okay, you're driving. That's all right. You just lean to the side just a little bit. You're at work. You need to get a hug if you're at work. Come here. Doesn't that feel good? Yeah. Now reach over and give somebody else a hug. Because the great thing about a hug, when you give it, you receive it. And if you're lacking love, have you hugged somebody today? You know? Because you are it. You are all that is. And we also want to welcome our Within Radio listeners. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in, for being part of this transformation journey. We are taking your calls. Questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, disbelief, disagreement. Call in 347-426-3346. Or you can post your questions and comments and thoughts and doubts and all the other good stuff on the like pages. We got two. We have the Life Conversations Radio page, And then we have the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page. Why have one when you can have two? Why have two if you can have three? Why have three if you can have four? But I'm not doing it. Two is enough, actually. I am an admin to a lot of like pages, and it's just like, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, let me bring in Celeste, because ain't nobody got time for me going on about like pages. Celeste, do you have time to have a quick chat with us? How are you doing, my friends?
I am doing great, Life Coach Dave. It's beautiful energy on the second full moon in Aquarius. So we're in a place and space to expand with cultivating the divine today. I'm so excited to have Stephen in the house.
Oh, let me see. Let me see what them people are talking about. They're just listening. They're being very quiet.
Yeah, see, they're listeners. They're, how do you say it?
Silent listeners. The silent listeners.
The silent listeners. Yes. If you want to join the conversation, you can sign in or log on to Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't say that. I just tripped. Nah, don't mind me. Do I sound like the cookie monster? Where's my cookies, cookies, cookies? I love cookies.
Who says
Angel is in the house.
Who says that spirituality cannot be fun? So, yes, you have Yvette in the house. There's a Dr. Ema in the house. And Angel. So she's in the right space. So let me do some quick
now. Did somebody say spirituality can be fun? Oh, I don't know what they're drinking. They change lanes. Just, you can't have fun if you can't be who you are here to be and enjoy life. Something wrong with you. That's right. I said it.
So true. So true. And the people are steadily, you know, that chat room, you guys have enough room in there? Hello, Karna Crosby. Welcome to the House of Love. We do love outs, not shout outs. So, Life Coach Day, are you ready for these announcements?
I don't know what I'm ready for. I'm just feeling good. Whatever you want to do, go ahead. I don't know who's talking to me. What's up with this voice?
I know. You're channeling so much today. Uh-huh. Okay, so I want you to go drink some tea, and I'm going to go ahead and do your announcements.
I don't have any tea today. My body said cereal and water. I usually don't do breakfast, as you know. Well, most people are doing lunch at this time, because I'm in Eastern time zone. But I usually don't do breakfast. But my body said, get some cereal and get some water. No tea. So I said, okay, you got it.
Wow.
So
it's called body wisdom. I love it. Okay, so here we go.
Let's do it.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here on Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversation. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in, questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with. So Life Coach Today and our wonderful guest, Stephen Bancarth, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. And make sure to press 1 on your keypad. And if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Yes, you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of August is Living Your Soul's Intention. And tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to provide you with soul food for your consciousness. Make sure you are in the house of the midday manifestation to tap into what he's going to download. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Embassa Safira for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can also go to the Life Conversations radio and or the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page on Facebook and click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yay, yay, yay. Thank you, Celeste. We thought we were losing you down the tunnel. You were going, say, no, don't leave us. Come back.
Oh, really? You couldn't hear me?
Well, we heard you, but it was like you were sounding like, you were going like this. And I was like, hey, actually, I thought you saw the message I was sent to you. Okay, I was trying to do it on the slide. I sent you a message, and you made the adjustment. Yeah, I don't know what you were going, what was going on in your studio, but we heard you. You just sounded like you were dissolving into the ether. Like, no, not now. Don't transcend now.
Have a great show.
Thank you, Celeste. See you around one for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Thank you very much. All right, now, you better what yourself? You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Today's topic, today's theme is cultivating a loving relationship with the divine God, Goddess. The essence of love, of truth that is you, that lives itself as you, through you. You know, this whole journey about spirituality, you know, there are people who would say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And whatever, we all use different labels, but it's all good. It's all good. And then those of us who had the religious background, we carried stuff with us. And the mind is such an amazing thing, the subconscious mind. So as you move into this new high vibration path, which in here they we have the HOV lane in America, HOV lane. So you have to have more than two people, well, sometimes more than two, sometimes more than one. Depends on which state you're in. So, you know, am I going to say this yet? Religion is like the slow lane. It's like, most people don't drive slowly anyway. But it's like, you know. I don't want to break the law. I'm just going to do what I need to do so I can get to work safely. And I hope I don't get stuck in traffic. I hate my job. Okay, stop it. Spirituality is like, excuse me, coming through, signal, changing lanes. HOV lane, yeah, come on, let's do this. I am already protected. I am here to be the traffic. I am here to be the light. I know all is well. Well, what can I say? It is what it is. Yes, but spiritual path, another way of describing it, is when you really get to understand who you are. Recognize the unity consciousness, knowing that everyone is your brother and your sister. But even more, you are one with that person. You're connected to them. They are part of you. So when you judge somebody else, you're judging yourself. And yeah, same thing. When you love somebody else, you're loving yourself. So next time you see somebody that's so beautiful, so hot, so gorgeous, so just like, ooh, that man is something else. That woman, just say, wow, I look good. Look at me. If you see somebody driving the kind of car you like, say, ooh, that's my car right there. As a matter of fact, you are the car. And speaking of car, I didn't plan this. We're going to bring on Stephen Bay cars. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, he loves me. He don't mind me playing with his name. Okay, I think it's time. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So what do I want to do before I bring on my new friend? This man is old. He's old as soul. He's an old soul, and I experienced him once, and it was such. I can't even get it out. His energy and his wisdom just moved me, and Celeste and I said, we got to bring this man back. And he's doing amazing work. We got a little bio, but I guess that kind of expresses who he is. He, you know, he just keeps it short because he's got so much to say. So let me read a little bit about him and then bring him on because I know y'all waiting for him. We're taking your calls, 347. That's part of the phone call, 347-426-3346. If you can find on your phone pad, you need to call somebody. You need help. Okay, what am I looking for? I'm looking for Stephen's bio, which is right here. Okay, Celeste, I got it. I'm just multitasking. You know how I do. Let's do this. I feel like I want to play a little bit of song in the background. No, maybe flute. No, maybe drums. Let's get some drum in while I read his bio. I don't know why I'm feeling that, but I don't need to know why. And if you don't like the sound of drums, that's your problem. All right, here we go. Come on, Gwai Martha. Let me turn it down a little bit because I might get carried away. I think that's too late. Okay, let me tell you about Stephen. Stephen Bankars is a 22-year-old. Actually, he may be older than that now. Well, last time we checked, he was 20, so if he's older than that, he's old. He's ageless. He's a 20-year-old philosophy student from Cambridge, Ontario. He's the creator of the Spirit Science and Metaphysics, and he's the co-founder of the Global Meditation Movement. And they're doing amazing work. The membership is growing, and this man drops knowledge left, right, and center. When he sneezes, people are transformed. Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and the drummers, welcome in Stephen. Let me turn up a little bit. All right, Steve, I hope you're dancing. See, there I go, call him Steve again. The man's name is Stephen, not Steve. He never said his name was Steve. Okay, I get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my guest, my friend, my brother, myself, Stephen Bankar. That's right. All right, come on. I know we are one, but relax. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, how's it going?
You got some rowdy students behind you. Can you tell them to calm down?
Thanks for the lively introduction there.
Oh, you're welcome. It's nice to have you back. Your people are still getting excited. Oh, hey, calm down. We got a show to do. Thank you very much. So, Stephen, it's welcome back to Life Conversations Radio. I see you guys on Facebook doing great work, and I just read a little bit about you. But I want to ask you before we actually go into this conversation about cultivating the relationship with God, with the divine, who are you? Who is Stephen Bankars?
Oh, who is Stephen Bancars? I guess Stephen Bancars is the name that has been given to this portion of consciousness, I guess you could say. Stephen Bancars is more or less just like a collection of like past histories and memories and experiences in inside a body, and then we give that body a name. But I don't like to limit my identity to whatever Stephen Bancars is or what, you know, Stephen Bancars gives off to the public. But I guess I'm just a 20-year-old philosophy student, as you said, living in Cambridge, Ontario. Just an average guy, I guess. I don't have anything special about me or unique about me other than the fact that I've been blessed with opportunities to express myself and to grow and to learn. So.
So there's nothing special about you and nothing unique about you, just your uniqueness. I get it. There's nothing special or unique. I'm just unique. I get it. Yes. You know, you guys are doing amazing work, and it's work that is needed, because really the vibration on the planet is changing. People are waking up. More and more people are waking up. And sometimes people wake up and thinking, now what do I do? And the kind of work you guys are doing, it's like feeds people. What we do here is about feeding people's consciousness. You know, I my intention of this show is to support people where they are, no matter what they're going through. Because at the end of the day, we need each other. We need each other. So I am grateful to have this conversation with you and your unique self. So let's jump into this conversation. We're talking about cultivating a loving relationship, a relationship with God, the divine, the source, the creator. You know, people have all kind of names. Some people, sometimes people get nervous when they hear God. And if you say God, they breathe a little bit, they relax. But I understand it. I understand it because that word, that name has been used to beat people up. It's been used to scare people and so much more. People fight and kill in the name of God or hate in the name of God. So it's a sort of sensitive topic in a funny kind of way, because when you say God, everybody walks away. I've always said, I don't care if you don't believe in God. If you can be kind, compassionate, and loving, you can be friends. I'm not attached to you being religious, spiritual, or atheist. Who cares? But, you know, it's a good conversation to have, and I want us to go deep. But before we do that, I really want to ask you about your journey. You say, I'm not special, I'm not unique, I'm just a 20-year-old philosophy student. Tell us about your story, your upbringing. Did you grow up in an environment where you were reminded of your spiritual essence? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, it was more than being reminded of my spiritual essence. I was kind of like, I was brought up in like a fundamentalist Christian household. So like everything was by the book. I was rotating in between being homeschooled with a Christian curriculum and going to a Christian private school. That was up until grade 7. And I was in and out of church like that whole time as well. So like I became really familiar with the Bible, with the idea of Jesus and with God and with heaven and hell and such and everything else that comes with the Christian religion. And once I got into high school, I started to develop an ability to think for myself, to think abstractly, to think outside the box. And I had begun research into various domains of knowledge and philosophies as well. And I kind of broke away from the fundamentalist Christian theology and began to explore and embrace and experience, for that matter, a more universal approach to God, a God that is not, you know, limited to one book or to one label or to one certain sect of people, a God that is always present, that is all-pervading, that is infinite, and that can be experienced right now in your own heart. It doesn't have to be through a medium like a church, or it doesn't have to be through an institution, or it doesn't have to be at the hand of some priest or guru or Brahmin or whatever. There is no catalyst necessary, because it's your essence. It's who you are. It's who you always were. And the more I looked into the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Buddha, the more I realized that they were all saying the same thing. And the more I realized that religion, it's all pointing towards the same thing vaguely. Like, the masters got it down. Like, Jesus had it down. Like, Buddha had it down. It's the people who have misinterpreted it and watered it down to something that makes them special or makes them superior. So I've kind of developed a more universal outlook on God and religion. Religion is what I was brought up with. I see it now as something that's not necessary. It's not a necessary condition for a relationship with God or for a belief in God, in that matter. Like, there's entire denominations of theism that don't even rely on any religious doctrine or any form of belief structure, such as deism. Religion is kind of, it can be a helpful tool for some people. It set my foundation, for that matter. Religion set my foundation for, you know, getting comfortable with the idea of God. But then the heart starts to seek more. The heart starts to seek a relationship with that intelligence. And that's the point when the training wheels kind of fall off, so to say. And religion's more based on belief. It's more based on a conceptual understanding, a conceptual knowledge. And I like to think of spirituality as being an experience of that, a direct personal relationship, a direct transformation, as opposed to being like a belief or a certain subscription to a thought in our mind. So I guess I've kind of, I respect religion, and it did set my foundation, but at the same time, it's not necessary for God. Like, God doesn't have a religion. God didn't create religion. Religion is a man-made institution, man's attempt at trying to grasp the divine into a way that, you know, the layman can understand it. And then you have people like Jesus and Buddha come along where they drop lines like, you know, the kingdom of God is within you. And then, you know, that kind of, that doesn't flow with the Christian religion very well, because that religion is laid down in a very hierarchical structure. It's very stratified. You know, you have God the Father, God the Son, and then all the people, all of God's children down below. And if you believe in Jesus, you believe in God, then you're one of God's children. And if not, then you're like a Gentile, and you're kind of outcasted, and you have like an eternity of hell and conscious torment in your future simply because you don't believe something. But I've understood that God and spirituality is more about the state of one's consciousness and the state of one's heart, as opposed to being a belief or a commitment to a religious ideology in the mind. And you don't need to believe in God or even know God exists to have that state of heart or have that state of consciousness. So I suppose my journey has been a transformation out of religious ideology and into personal subjective experience, I suppose you could say.
Yeah. I listen to you, the whole thing about, you talk about how religion helped you in your understanding of God. Because I, for me, religion done in the right way, for me, is the study of love. And spirituality in the right way is the expression of the love that you've studied. You know, because we can all learn, we can gather information, rules and regulations, morals. But as you said, it's about how tell us about your heart. How light is your heart? Are you living from a place of love? Are you living from a place of unity? Are you living from a place of truth? Because that makes a difference. Now, and I'm sure you know this, there are people who go to traditional religion and also have learned to tap into their spiritual self. And there are people who are in, I mean, I would go as far as saying there's some people who are so-called spiritual are quite religious about what they believe, because they can't talk, people can't express themselves with us. Oh, don't say that, say an affirmation. And, you know, the for me, living in God, living as God, allowing God to be God in and through us, is to know that everything belongs. All of it belongs. And there's a process to consciousness as we expand and as we unfold. And when we learn to be gentle with ourselves, we get to invite God in. The truth is, God has always been there. Well, really, we're inviting ourselves to the God that is already around us. But I want to ask you this. You talked about breaking away from the process, breaking away from the fundamental religious experience. The process of breaking away, what was that like? Did it happen as you were reading and then you begin to question more? Or did something come to just shake you up? Because for most people, you have your lights put out so you can see the light. What was your breaking away process like?
My breaking away process was pretty gradual. I would slowly come across like new information that wouldn't coincide with literal biblical interpretation, and it would make me question, like, you know, the six-day creation. Like, did this really happen like that? Like, what about Adam and Eve? And then I used to be obsessed with, like, researching aliens and stuff, and then I thought to myself, well, how does this fit into the Bible? Like, where does this fit into, like, the creation? On which day did God create aliens and stuff? And it was, like, the more and more information I gathered and the more experiences I had and the more I began to meditate and began to practice a relationship with God, the more I realized that, you know, religious doctrine isn't, it's not necessary. Like, even the people in the Bible themselves, like Abraham, like his relationship with God was personal. Moses, his relationship with God was personal. It wasn't grounded on, you know, something someone wrote down on animal skins like 4,000 years ago, and they didn't like walk around saying like, this is the the objective framework in which we must experience God. We have to experience God this way. And the more and more I began to research myself, for that matter, and to go and experience the world, the more I realized, like, God is much more than an idea. God's much more than a concept. Conceptual understanding can only get you so far, and it only got me so far, because my heart desired more. You can only read about how good a rose smells for so long before you say to yourself, like, man, like, I really want to go smell that rose. Like, what's that rose smell like? Mm-hmm. What's it feel like? And I guess my breakaway process was one of knowledge, but at the same time, it was one of desire. It wasn't just satisfactory for me to accept this linear and hierarchical outlook on the universe and on the divine, and I wanted to go taste it for myself. And I've been reading less. The more I experience God and the more I give him time, the less desire I have for knowledge, because I'm using my own subjective experience for the datum on which I build my beliefs and my thoughts and my theories. So I guess the breaking away point was having faith in my own heart and my own heart's desires, and not being afraid to let go of, indoctrination, I guess you could call it.
I understand. Not being afraid of our belief system, the things that we've built. And that's a scary part, because, you know, I believe, for me, it's a heart-centered spirituality or true spirituality. I don't want to say true spirituality, actually, because that gives an impression that there is a false spirituality. I don't want to get caught up in that. But, you know, I still want to go there. Real spirituality is yielding to your greater yet to be, being willing to let go of old belief systems. So you are made new by the renewing of your own mind, of your own consciousness. And that can be scary. That can be scary. I want to ask you a question, but I just want to remind listeners, those who are joining us, If you've got any questions, number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad, or you can post questions on the Like pages, the Life Conversations Radio Like page, fan page, or the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show Like page. Post your questions there, and we will certainly get to it. Now, here's a question I want to ask you, Stephen. If let's say a four-year-old asked you, who and what is God? What would you say?
If a four-year-old asked me that, I would have to simplify it. You'd have to break it down into something that they could understand. Like throwing out some abstract terminology to them wouldn't be effective for them or for their pursuits. I would probably say God is your maker. God is, you know, the mind that made you. That's a good question. I haven't been put in that experience yet. What would you say to them?
What would I say to them? I would say to a four-year-old, God is what you are. I'll say God is the tree. God is the butterfly. God is everything that you see is everywhere. God is all there is. I may not go into it. It's not human, because they would live that for the adult mind. But really letting them, as you said, it's like give it to them in a way that is so simple that they can, you know. And it also depends on the child. Because if the child grew up in a Christian foundation, you may be like, but I thought God is in heaven. It's like, yes, and heaven is right here in your heart. You know, but really just giving it to them in a way they can get it. You say, God is all that you can see. Everything that you see is an expression of God, and so are you. You know, just leave it as that. Keep it real simple. And I think, you know, I ask the question because even though from a human perspective, we have an understanding of who and what God is, but there's also, as we were saying earlier, the conditioning. So there are still some people who think that if they don't do what they're supposed to do on this planet, then God is going to withhold peace, you know, joy from them. Or they still that my belief system that God may punish them. Or I've heard people say, well, we're saying God is love and God is all there is. What if we're wrong? You know, and it's like, well, if you're wrong that God is all there is, then, and God is love, what would be the consequences of believing that God is love? But I can't understand it. I can't even imagine what that would be. But that word, I mean, sometimes I shy away from it because I said to Celeste when we were working on the show, you know, when we say to cultivate a loving relationship with God, I have my little things about being put in a box. So I don't like to be put in a box. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to be in trouble. So the idea, especially put a topic like cultivating a love relationship with God, and people might think, oh, it's the Christian kind of God. Oh, I can't listen to that show. Now, regular listeners know the conversation here, but for me, God is. Yeah, and the truth is, I always say, when you define God, you limit God, because God is beyond definition. You said earlier, God is more than an idea. God is an experience. Now, let me ask you this. I know you're around a lot of young people. What kind of challenges, what kind of things come up for them, particularly around this conversation about God?
What kind of challenges do they have about God?
Yeah.
Young people?
Yeah, like people your age. Stephen is like, young people? I'm not around you. I know. You're 20-year-old, but you're so much more than that. But young people in college, you know, still growing. Because, I mean, I want to say this. Generally speaking, it's not often that we encounter, and I speak for myself, that I encounter a 20-year-old who's having this kind of conversation. And it's not that they're just talking about want to have a girlfriend or boyfriend or want to party or just watch whatever they're watching, but either they grew up in a family where they're either Muslim Christian, or, you know, they don't quite know what they believe. So this conversation was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I think that God thing is for old people. But I see from the work that you're doing, you're around a lot of young people who are having the conversation, who are learning about themselves and learning about the world out there. And you guys have a way of bringing them closer together, like, whoa. You know, you can talk about that if you want, but I see when I've come to your group, you have a way of bringing people to focus on what is true, to focus on themselves rather than the fear. So, you know, those are the people that I was asking you about, the people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, the young folks.
Okay.
What are their conversations around God, spirituality, religion?
I think one of the challenges a lot of people face in my age group and in all age groups for that matter is trying to understand God in the mind, because we've been brought up in a society that is so scientific in nature. It's based on empiricism. It's based on, you know, stuff you can test in a laboratory. Like, it's not knowledge unless it is in a science textbook or unless it's something we can repeat in a lab. And we've been cultivated as a society to develop only one way of understanding what it means to know something, and this is through sense perception, and it's also through mental comprehension. Like, I can comprehend in my mind that 2 + 2 = 4. Like, that's one way to know something. I can say this desk in front of me right now exists because I can feel it, I can sense it, I can touch it, I can measure its dimensions. And then when we've become so used to thinking and using our mind as a tool to give us knowledge, that when we encounter something that the mind can't comprehend or that it can't draw up on a blackboard or on a formula, when we are encountered with a kind of knowledge that requires experience, we're kind of like stuck in this place of uncertainty because we think like, oh, I can't see God, I can't touch God. Like, is God in heaven? Like, I can't understand God in my mind, really, but, you know, I have moments where I feel love, or where, like, I'm looking over a sunset and I'm just, like, overwhelmed with this feeling of grace. Like, that's God. That feeling, that presence, that's God. And that's a soulful knowing. That's an intuitive knowledge. It's not a knowledge that you gain from, you know, memorizing Bible verses or from, you know, reading books online or from a textbook or anything. It's a personal kind of knowledge. So I think a challenge that I had for a long time as well, and that a lot of people still have, is trying to rely on their mental processes and their scientific minds to give them an experience of God. And you can't experience something in thought. An experience is outside of thought. And God exists outside of thought as well. So I think the biggest challenge has been breaking away from the chains that we've developed in our own minds, and to develop the ability to know something and experience something outside of a mental comprehension. Like, for example, like, how do you know you love your wife? Or how do you know you love your children? You wouldn't go over to a blackboard and draw up some formula or some, mathematical means to express your love for them.
Let me calculate that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something you can calculate. It's not something you can write down. You can't really think it. You just feel it. And you can ask them, well, like, how do you know you're in love with them? How do you know what you experienced was really love? And they'll just say, well, I don't know. I just felt it. And that is the essence of spiritual experience, and we dismiss it. We're told by, like, the scientific community to dismiss that because it's just like a mere feeling-based encounter, and we've completely dismissed that entire dimension of our own being that is in touch with intuitive knowledge, that desires experience and desires grace and love, and we've kind of abandoned that way of knowing. And I think a challenge for a lot of people is reconnecting with that way of knowing, reconnecting with their own inner voice, with their own heart, with their own intuition, because we've relied so heavily on the mind to give us answers. So I guess that's a challenge that has been most present on my pages and even in my own life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It all happens in the feelings, isn't it? It's when you start to feel, because what you feel, you know. If you step on something hot, you know it's hot. You don't need to debate. You don't need to, you know, you don't even get to think about, is this hot? You instantly respond to it. And when for me, I find that works for me. I mean, I had to know who and what God is for myself, even after the books and the classes. It's like, I need to know for me. So when I'm not in the retreat, when I'm not sitting with this great teacher in front of me, how do I move through life? So let me ask you, how do you, what do you use? What kind of technologies do you use to embody, to feel, to go, to move beyond the idea in your spiritual practice that you could share with some of the listeners that listen? Say, you know, I want to get to a place where I can feel God.
Yeah. To move into a domain of awareness where you wish to experience God and know his presence, I think, and when I say his presence, I don't mean that God is a boy. I'm just using it as a frame of reference, but
I'm going to challenge you. You say her present from now on.
Sure. Okay,
really,
okay,
shake
sure.
things up. So you're about to say his presence, say her presence, and woo, shake things up. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, when you if you want to feel her presence, you have to experience a domain of awareness that exists outside of the ordinary stream of thinking all day. You can't just be trapped in your head all day going through noise, like thinking, and expect that you're going to have like this, you know, divine revelation fall on your lap. I think something that has been super helpful for me to reconnect with my own heart and reconnect with my own intuition and thus reconnect with the essence of God is meditation, silence, silencing my mind, silencing the constant chatter that I have operating in this involuntary movement of thought all day. And I center myself, and I don't go into it saying, like, oh, I'm going to feel God, I'm going to feel divine. I just go into it, and I silence myself. And the silence, that domain of silence in between thought, that's where God lies. That's where God is constantly speaking. That's where God is constantly communicating to every one of us telepathically in every moment. Our minds are normally too noisy to decipher the messages or to even try to listen or understand what he's saying, but he's always speaking. And when you're in that space of silence, you have, like, tidbits of wisdom dropped into you that you aren't thinking about them. Like, you aren't trying to generate them in your mind. It's just like, oh, that's what it is. That's what I need to do. Or, oh, that's what this life is. Like, this is what I need to work on. So meditation and getting outside of my own mind, my own thinking, that's something that's been very useful for me to help catalyze, if you will, a relationship with God. And also putting out love and positivity as well with other people, with people in my life, with friends, with strangers I encounter. Like if you're nice to somebody, nice to a stranger, and you can see that they appreciate that kindness. They have like this look in their eye, and you feel this like charge of love in your heart, and you know that God is there. God is there where that love is. God is there where that forgiveness is, and living from a space of grace, I suppose, as
yes.
well as being able
yes.
to live outside of your own thoughts and to connect with your own heart. That's where God exists. He exists everywhere. It's not like I'm limiting to him to a dimension of consciousness, but he exists in all states of consciousness, but his essence is more tangible there. Her essence.
Yes, it's he. I said, I'm not gonna mess with him. I said, I'll leave him alone. Her essence. Can you imagine? Well, I don't know about females, unless if you're attracted to the same sex, maybe you were. But for me as a man, it's like, oh God, as a woman, oh my God, woo! I can't wait to go sit with God, because woo! Actually, God is right here. Yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And all the shows are archived, so you can always come back and listen. We invite you to share the show with your friends. As we used to say, share the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters, and your enemies. Because you really don't have enemies. You know, it's just your inner you, it's your inner me. So you don't have to worry. Just share the show. Share it with your cat. And if the show has inspired you, shift your consciousness, help you to see yourself differently, we invite you to donate to the show by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com, or go. You can donate on the like pages as well. There's a donate button. Click it there and share your love. Stephen, we're going to take a break and come back with Celeste Morgan. And we're going to continue the conversation. When we come back, I want to talk about forgiveness, surrender, and some other topics. Now, there is a question for you in the chat room, but we'll deal with that when we come back. James Guy, I'm not sure if it sounds to me like you've answered that question, Stephen, but I just get James to clarify. James said, can you please ask Stephen to comment on his experience of a presence of the divine. I guess maybe you have a particular experience or something. Maybe, James, you can clarify that. But we'll deal with that when we come back from the break. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and we are here to support you on your transformation journey. We are being a catalyst for you now to feel the presence of God that is within you, that is all around you. You know, you are truly a spirit and a body, a soul and a body. And you're not limited to just your body. You are everywhere right now. You are in so many dimensions. This is just one aspect. This is like pulling out your Xbox and playing a game or the Wii game. There's a part of you that's holding onto the remote. There's a part of you on the screen. And there's a part of you that transcends time. Breathe in the power and the presence of God. And if you're blocked up, if you're stuck up, it might be time to forgive. It might be time to let go. Because that's all we need to do, really. There's nowhere we need to go. True spirituality is about unlearning the erroneous thoughts, unlearning things that we've been taught, that told us where we're told we're separated. And today we're setting intention that you may fall in love with yourself in a whole new way. And as I always say, you walk past the mirror and say, damn, I look good. Because when you can see the goodness in you, you're looking with the eyes of God. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
That's what we're here to do, to spread the love, and for you to spread the love with Life Conversations Radio and all our listeners. Send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com, radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
This presence is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Peace is everywhere. Joy is everywhere. These are eternal qualities, not merely the absence of conflict. These are eternal qualities that are real, but they need instrumentalities through which to express truth.
From Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, California, a visionary, author, one of the teachers of The Secret.
Everything is energy. Energy is never destroyed, never created, and it becomes exactly what you put your attention on. And there's enough for everyone.
Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith are coming to Atlanta's Hillside International Truth Center with Living from the Overflow, How to Embody a Consciousness of Wealth, Saturday, September 7th.
So we are not here to beg God to come down and give us a miracle. You are the miracle. You're the miracle already. and the present is waiting for you to up-level your filaments, your wattage, so that that which is potential, that is everywhere, can have access so that you can express it.
This soul-filled, thought-provoking workshop will teach you ways to cultivate a spiritual understanding of authentic wealth, how to activate the law of abundance in all areas of your life, how to set your intention and focus your attention, your ticket to transformation. Michael Bernard Beckwith at Hillside, Saturday, September 7th. Tickets are only $42, representing Hillside's 42nd anniversary. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org.
God of my spirit, supreme.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try, and if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. And thank you for joining us on the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, where we are supporting you to live your soul's intention. That's the theme for the month, living your soul's intention. Why are you here? What is your soul whispering in your consciousness? Your soul is reminding you here to do something. And you start by cultivating a loving relationship with the divine, with God, with Source. Are you doing what you're here to do? Life is so much more than love and career. That's important, but it's so much more than that. It's time to ask some deeper questions. Why am I here? How can I make a difference? What idea of God is seeking to be birthed through me? What am I giving birth to right now? What is the vision for my life? Sometimes we get caught up, I don't know. I'm not even going to say that. I'm leaving alone. But, you know, we get caught up in the little things. Those are fine. They all belong. But it's time to start asking deeper questions. Questions that pull you forward. Questions that expand your consciousness. Questions that just by the, when you just speak the questions out loud yourself, it makes you go, whoa, where did that come from? In that moment, a shift in consciousness took place. You would know that you just had a shift in consciousness. 347-426-3346, or post your questions on the like pages, Life Conversations Radio, or the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show like page, fan page. Once again, the phone number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And it's now time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel so full in this moment. And we have people asking Stephen questions in the chat room. James added to his question, Life Coach Today. I just sent that to you. Yeah, can we unmute Stephen real quick?
Yes, certainly. Stephen Bonkars, how are you? Celeste wants to talk to you. Woo.
Stephen, I want to... Hello, my friend, my brother. Long-lost brother, you know it. I wanted to share a gift with you personally, that a lot of the things that you're talking about, I get a lot of my... I have a very, 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 very personal relationship with God, as I see God as lover and God in everything. But there's just a couple of lines from my favorite, one of my favorite books that I wanted to share with you as a gift. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. This is from Alice Walker, Color Purple. And this is the character Shug talking to Silly. So Silly is questioning Shug as to why does she call God it? And here's the gift for you. Yeah, it. God ain't a he or a she, but a it. But what did it look like, I ask? Don't look like nothing, she say. It ain't a picture show. It ain't something you can look at apart from anything else, including yourself. I believe God is everything, said Shug. Everything that is, or ever was, or ever will be. And when you can feel that and be happy to feel that, you found it. That's my gift for
That's
you.
That's wonderful.
My pleasure. Let's get to the celestial moment because the theme of water is flowing, family. So, Life Coach Today, that's for you too, Wink.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's time for Celestial Moment. People want to know about some books to read. We're going to talk about that. I got the best book. I got the new Bible right here. Stop it. Anyway.
Be free.
Don't get me started. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Sacred yes, sacred yes. Okay, go ahead. Yes, I'm done.
Being an ex never sounds so good, Life Coach Day. Okay, here we go. So good afternoon, family. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace all that is showing up in your life right now. We have a second full moon in Aquarius today. The first was on July 22nd. Aquarius offers us freedom at the same time as it demands that we find ways to work together for the benefit of all humanity. Also, the energy of the day equals 7, and if it happens to be your birthday today, this is your lesson number for the whole year. 7 is ruled by the planet Neptune, with its focus on liberating one from intellectual consciousness, bringing extremes of beauty and love to the senses and emotions. From Roman theology, Neptune was the god of the ocean. 7 is also the sacred number of an African goddess, Imoja, who is the mother of the oceans. 7 also makes an appearance as the chariot in tarot, and the chariot is astrologically associated with the sign of Cancer, representing mother love, nurturing, protection, and psychic power. That's a lot of water.
the letters of the alphabet connected to 7 are G, P, and Y. So words like goddess, power, and yogi connect us to the divine power, number 7. Now, 7 also shows up as the well watcher in the Wisdom of the Hidden Realms Oracle card by Colette Baron Reed. And that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. The well watcher represents wisdom and power of the divine. We are invited to maintain our connection by staying aware of our water levels. Water represents our emotional state. It is a feminine element and asks about our receptivity. The number 7 invites you to go out into the deep. Today, we're going to focus more closely on a well watcher from the sacred text. There is a story of a woman who came at high noon to get her water from the well. Most came in the morning to share the news of community and glad tidings. So she thought and possibly prayed to be alone. She found a man standing there, Jesus. He asked her for water. She gave him a political discourse about his right to do so. She went further to express the differences in how people were expected to worship. He then read the events in her life and offered her one last gift, not the water of the people, but the water of the Spirit. He said, "Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is the water she wanted and said a sacred yes to receive. On this day, she became restored to community and she became restored to herself. On this day, she greeted the divine. And that's the story of number 7, told through the well watcher of the Wisdom of the Hidden Realms Oracle Cards by Colette Baron Reed. All is well. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. And we'll see you in a few minutes when we do the Ask Life Coach at a email questions. Woo! Excitement. Thank you, Celeste.
Yay. My pleasure.
Yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. That's my professional radio voice. We're talking to Stephen Bankard. He's a 20-year-old philosopher. He's so much more than that, you know. He's the creator of spirit, science, and metaphysics, and he's the co-founder of the Global Meditation Movement, the best way I know to tap into the presence or the other or the no thing that is everywhere evenly present. James, did you catch that? We're talking about cultivating loving relationship with God, with the divine, with the creator, with the presence, with the no thing that is everything, the other. Yes. 347-426-3346 is the number to call, 347-426-3346, and make sure you press 1 on your keypad. So we've got some questions for you, Stephen. James wanted to know, he said, can you comment on your experience of presence of divine, And then he added more to his question by saying, why exactly would we call it presence and not call it other? Or is it felt as other? So I want you to experience about the presence, your experience of the presence, the divine, and why is it called a presence and not call it the other? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep. To be honest, it doesn't really matter what you label it. You could call it presence. You could call it other. You could call it the transcendental other, the holy other. It's really just a label. Those are just labels given to kind of describe an experience. But the experience itself can't be described in thought. So presence and other, you could call it either. But neither are sufficient to fully describe or explain what is being experienced. They're more or less just labels. But the original question was, what is it like to experience the divine? Was that the question?
Yeah, can you comment on your experience of a presence of divine, I guess, of the presence? So, you know, you're talking about this presence, your experience that you've had, maybe something that happened I hope that makes sense, James, because I'm trying to understand this question here. Yeah, he says, ask Stephen to comment on his experience of a presence of the divine.
Okay. It's extremely expansive. The individual self that we normally identify with, like, my name is James, I'm, you know, a blue-collar worker, this is my family, this is my clothes, this is my body, this is my mind, like, all of that just kind of dissipates into the present moment, and what you're left with is just silence. I find myself, the minute I'm, whenever I'm experiencing that silence or that presence or that other, whatever you'd like to call it, the first thing my mind wants to do, it wants to start revving up and commenting on the experience. It wants to start, like, putting it into a box or start, like, saying, oh, this is what silence feels like. Wow, you're experiencing silence right now. This is great. And the moment I try and think about the experience or try and capture it with a thought, the minute it slips away, because what you are experiencing is at the ground of all thought. Thought can't be used to explain the ground of thought. It's like Alan Watts once used a quote. It said, trying to define yourself is like trying to bite your own teeth. So using thoughts to try to describe a state of pure consciousness is a direct contradiction, because consciousness is the ground of thought, and that's basically what the experience is. There's no thoughts running through your mind. You're in a state of mental silence, physical silence. You're still aware. You're conscious, and you're in connection with your own heart, with the present moment, but you're not thinking. So it's almost like a thoughtless awareness of grace. And my experience has been one that's been a constant battle between myself and my mind. My mind always wants to jump into it and try and label it or say, like, oh, I read this one time and this kind of feels like this. But really my experience have been experiences of no thought. It's hard to describe what they're like. It's like if you read 100 books, let's say, on the topic of honey. You've read how honey is produced, how it's stored, how it's manufactured, where it's sold, etc. You have all of this knowledge on honey. And then once you finally take, and then someone can ask you the question, like, what is honey about? And you can give them, like, all this knowledge, all these facts about what honey are, all these things you have memorized up in your mind, this database of thought just, like, continuously running. But you haven't even tasted the honey yet, but you claim to conceptually know what the honey is. And then once you finally taste the honey, and someone asks you, like, what do you know about the honey? What's the honey like? You can't really describe it in the same way you can describe, like, the conceptual understanding of honey, because you've experienced it. You can kind of put your finger on, like, you know, the taste of honey, like peace, grace. But you can't communicate the experience, and that's where the mind wants more. The mind hears that and says, like, oh, but I want something where I can know what I'm getting into. Once you shut off that voice that wants to label and define and conceptualize everything and just be content with just being and be able to, like, observe the world around you, observe the grace, the movement of life from a place of silence, that's where you'll begin to have experiences of the divine. Or that's how I've found myself having experiences of the divine, where I'm not thinking, I'm not conceptualizing, I'm not trying to label. It's just thoughtless awareness, essentially.
I so get it. I mean, it's beyond labels. You know, we use labels, words, so we can communicate. Sometimes it's what I call, we use labels just for intellectual masturbation. You know, just go back and forth. But once you experience them, you know, you just get high. I won that debate. But when you experience it, when you know, that place of silence, that place of stillness, that's something that when you just sit still, you feel your heart about to explode. You see it in somebody else. It's not even worth debating. And, you know, as you said, I totally agree. It doesn't matter what you call it. Call it nothing. It's the nothing. It's the something. But it's the nothing that is everywhere. It is everything. And well, don't call it that. Call it that, you know, silence. Now, let's talk about forgiveness and surrender, because I found, and I don't know about you, I found for my spiritual journey the importance of forgiveness. And also some people are asking about books. I got a book that I want to recommend here, but the importance of forgiveness. And actually, before we talk about the forgiveness, how do you define forgiveness?
How would I define forgiveness? Relieving somebody of responsibility or relieving somebody of karma. And we have the ability to do that. We normally don't realize we have the ability to do that. But we can put a stoppage in the wheel of karma, if you will. We can provide peace for them and for ourselves by relieving them of the consequences of their actions if we just forgive them. So I think forgiveness can be defined as something that's very relief-oriented. You feel a weight lifted off both of you. And I think that's ultimately because we're forgiving ourselves when we forgive somebody else, right? The self is universal. The self is expressing itself in all things right now. So when you forgive somebody, you're really just forgiving yourself. It's a give and take, like an immediate give and take. It's like if you punch yourself like in the ribs right now, like you're going to feel the effect of that immediately because you're punching yourself. And we normally don't think that when we're going around criticizing or doing harm to others that we're also doing it to ourselves. The self is more non-local, it's more universal, and it seems to be distanced from us more, but it's nonetheless the same self, the same source experiencing itself in all things. So when you forgive somebody and you feel this massive weight off your shoulders, like, wow, like I'm experiencing peace right now, that's because you're ultimately forgiving yourself. There's only one of us here. And
yes.
Forgiveness is the understanding that there is only one of us here. And that's like why in the Bible, Jesus is asked, like, how do we be forgiven for our sins? And he always replies, forgive others and you will be forgiven. And the way I've come to understand that is, if you want God to forgive you, you have to be willing to forgive God that is experiencing and expressing himself in that person now. If you can't forgive God within this world right now, including within yourself, we have to be able to forgive ourselves as well. But if you can't forgive God who is experiencing himself here, if you can't forgive your neighbor, you're not going to receive forgiveness, and you're not going to receive that relief. You're going to be hanging on to it, and that hanging on to something is in itself a punishment.
That's it. Hanging on to it, you're punishing yourself. Forgiveness, you know, as you said, is really about that process of allowing love, allowing the presence, allowing the other, allowing the no thing. You know, we are what we are seeking. So really, when we're holding on to grudges and pain, we're blocking ourselves from what we really are, to experiencing ourselves to the fullest. James has a question in here. James said, James, perhaps the question is, have you felt presence in the past hour? Okay, Stephen, you go ahead and answer that. James wants to know if you felt presence in the past hour. Or half hour, he said.
Yeah, definitely. Celeste was reading that the quote from the book, that was an enormous amount of presence there. It's hard to constantly live from a state of presence. It's kind of we haven't really perfected spirituality per se. It kind of comes and goes in glimpses of euphoria and of boundlessness. But yeah, I've you can still experience presence, thinking, be interacting with the world, and I definitely feel present right now. Not the most I've ever in my life, but I feel God is here. God is guiding this.
Of course. I mean, I'm with you on that one, because this whole idea of presence, sometimes the mind wants to do something with it. As you were saying earlier, the mind wants to box the presence. Like, ooh, I felt the presence. Oh, no, I'm not feeling the presence. Ooh, I think I'm feeling the presence. No, it's not the presence. It's the past. Ooh, wait a minute. I'm not in the moment. Ooh, let me. But the whole idea is presence is present. It's always present. Doesn't matter. So I guess the question for you, James, as well is, Have you felt the presence? Or have you felt the other, as you put it? Because it doesn't matter what Steve say, what Stephen say, or what I say. It's like, what Stephen and I are doing, we're just having a conversation. And I would say, don't believe anything we're saying. Try it out for yourself. It may work for you or not. But the journey is about learning to figure out, to learn what works for you, what is true for you. It is about you speaking your truth. How do you define God, the source, the creator, the universe? What is your experience? Because this thing, this it that we call the presence, it's what you are. It's all around you. And even when you're not feeling it, James, it is present. The question is, are you present to it? And when we're present to the presence, yes. So we have the moments where we join together and we just kind of like, ooh, I feel something. I can't even describe it. And there are moments where we get caught up in the day-to-day activities because we live in the realm of humanity, in the realm of the divine. And it's all an expression of God. It all belongs. It all belongs. Stephen, let me ask you this. Some of your friends wanted to know, I don't know if you responded, they wanted to know if you have some books that you recommend for...
Sure.
For awakening, but I think they said it differently. But go ahead. What books would you recommend for your folks?
Okay. Well, just to tie off what you just said there, presence is present even when you aren't aligned with present. Our mind tries to tell us it's like a euphoria or like an epiphany, and we got to like cling on to it and try and chase the next epiphany. No, it's right here. It's right now. Even when you're depressed, even when you're sad, presence is still here in that. And when we start looking for it now in the present moment instead of like in an experience of like euphoria or, you know, transcendence, like even in experiences of non-transcendence, even in boring, ordinary states of consciousness, presence is still here. But books that I would recommend for awakening, I've been reading one lately by Eckhart Tolle. It's called The Power of Now. I'm only like 40 pages in it because I can only read like a page or two a day because every single thing he says in that book, like everything is so profound. Every sentence is just like burning with truth. I can only read like 5 sentences at a time, then I have to stop and like stare at my ceiling for like 10 minutes because it's a realization. He provokes a realization and an experience within you. It's not like you're taking in new information and new knowledge. You'll read something and be like, wow, like that's true. Like, wow, that's relevant to me. And I would definitely recommend reading The Power of Now. That also helps. The information in that book also helps create a space between yourself and your thoughts, between you and the self that you've identified with, the personal self. So that's a book I definitely recommend. As far as talking about God goes, I've only read a few books that are relevant to our topic today, one of which was pretty cool. It's actually called God. It's by Deepak Chopra. And it's supposed to be an account of man's evolution of our understanding of God throughout time. Like, it starts in the book with the experience of Job, where Job is being punished and, like, tested by Satan, and God is thought of as, like, you know, the tester of faith to be feared. And then it goes, like, progresses through time, and each person, each saint, each mystic that comes along kind of drops a new way to look at God into like this pool of collective knowledge, and our evolution slowly evolves. And then he talks about Rumi as well, where God is no longer like this punisher and this tester that's to be feared, but God is love. God is the condition of the heart, and God is here. And then he talks about from that over to like Eastern mysticism and how we can relate and understand God today, and how God is no longer thought of as like this man in the sky with the big gray beard who writes books, but it's more of an intelligence that is here now and present. So I guess The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle and God by Deepak Chopra are books that I've kind of, I've found peace in those books.
Yes, yes. And I want to drop one in that recommendation list is Sacred Yes. It's the is revealed, it's kind of like the Conversations with God format. It's called The Sacred Yes by Reverend Deborah Johnson, Letters from the Infinite. This is one of the most powerful books I've read, and it's powerful because it blends the human experience with the spiritual experience. And, you know, this book has transformed my life. I definitely would recommend that, The Sacred Yes by Reverend Deborah Johnson. Google it and you find more going on in there. Before we release you, what are you up to lately? What do you want to share with our listeners? I know you guys are doing all kind of meditation and different things going on with your group and other things. So tell us what you're up to and anything else you want to share with our listeners.
If you're listening and you aren't a follower of my page, Spirit Science and Metaphysics, or the Global Meditation Movement, those are pages you could check out. Also, I do have a Facebook page that I don't advertise very much. It's called God is Universal. And I'm basically making posts about essentially everything we've talked about today. So the Facebook page is called God is Universal, so you could give that a like and check that out as well. And, I guess that's all I've been up to lately, really. Meditate. If you're listening to this, meditate today. Meditate right after this. Go spend 20 or 30 minutes outside. Try and slow down that stream of thinking. The mind is going to tell you, okay, I'm slowing it down to be present. I'm going to be present. You're present without thinking about that you're present. The mind doesn't have to tell you you're present in order for you to just be. So try meditating in silence today. And the more you get accustomed to silence, the more you're going to have experiences and have revelations, because that's where God exists, in the silence. Silence speaks if we're listening to it. I guess that's all I've been up to lately, really.
Actually, before you go, we've got some questions and lots of different things I'm finding out here. They've got some questions. Can you stay a little bit longer? Because I would like to want you to add to the questions that we got. Can you stay with us for the next 5 minutes?
Yep, of course.
Okay, perfect, yes. Okay, so let's do this. All right, I'm going to bring Celeste on, and right now, talking about presence and developing, cultivating a loving relationship with God, recognizing we're one, I'm finding out that in the school here in Atlanta, a man walked into the office with a gun. Thankfully, he was arrested. So just send your blessings, your healing messages, healing thoughts to the school here in Atlanta, McNair. And, there are a lot of people who are doing crazy things. Send your healing blessings to the world, to your community, wherever you are in the world. You know, people who are in pain. And be the place where God gets to represent itself. So blessing the children, blessing the teachers, blessing yourself, blessing your neighbors, because we need to do it more and more. And we are truly shining the light. That's why we're seeing more of the craziness. See, all the darkness are coming out. Like, ooh, look at all this darkness. That's why we're seeing more of this foolishness. So just bless it. Know it's well. And whatever's going on in your family, your neighborhood, we're blessing it, lifting it up, knowing that God is in control. God is. God is. Celeste, you got some questions.
I sure do. But the number one question right now for Stephen is the name of the first book you guys were talking about. We have a question about that in the chat room.
Oh, The Power of Now? That's the first one you said, right, Stephen?
Yep.
Yeah, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Or Eckhart Tolle. Some people say Tolle. Tolle. And then the second one is called God. We sound like we're underwater.
Yeah, Stephen did for a moment. I'm like, come on out, Stephen. Get out the water.
We must be swimming in the ocean of devotion. Yeah, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. I'll put a link in there, put the link of the book, Power of Now. Okay, Celeste, let's do some questions.
Sure, absolutely. All right, this is from Michael. I would like to cultivate a loving relationship with the divine, but I'm also trying to cultivate a loving relationship with people who worship differently than me. I feel like I'm fighting about the Bible more than I'm really comprehending it. What do you suggest I do?
to increase my vibration in this area. Michael.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead, Stephen.
So basically, you have a relationship with God that you're trying to cultivate, and you have a relationship with other people in your life that hold different beliefs that may conflict with yours, that you're trying to cultivate a relationship with them also. The thing is here is that we often assume that they are two separate sides of the coin when they're actually the exact same thing. To cultivate a relationship with people who conflict with you is to develop a relationship with God. God is not like a man in the sky on a cloud. Like God is here now, and we often spend so much time like being introverted, and we're trying to seek God and develop a relationship with God within, but we also have to develop a relationship with God without as well, and that's where the importance of developing relationships with others are, and that really is the essence of creating a relationship with God, is when you're able to create a relationship with people in your life who disagree with you, who hate you, who fear you, who make you angry, because they're really one and the same. God is within them also. And if you can look at them and understand that, hey, they're one with me, they're one with God, God loves them, I need to love them, I need to love myself, then you're going to make a lot more progress than supposing that there's this dichotomy between a relationship with God and a relationship with others. The relationship with others is the relationship with God. It's like in the Bible, Jesus says, you're going to be judged on, did you feed me when I was hungry? Did you clothe me when I needed clothes? Did you visit me when I was in prison? Then his followers are like, when were you in prison and we visited you? When did you need food and we gave you food? And he's like, truly I tell you, whatever you did to these brothers and sisters of mine, you did unto me. And that's because he understood himself as being universal. He understood that he was the essence of God, and the essence of God was being expressed and manifested within all things. So that's why Jesus was so loving. That's why he always hung out with prostitutes and with robbers and with poor people, for that matter, because he knew that God was within them. And the people in your life who conflict with you, those are the ones that you need to bond with most, because if they conflict with you, that means that there's room for improvement within yourself. And once you improve yourself, a relationship with God is implicit in that. So I would suggest focusing on a relationship with them, because that is one and the same as having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. And what I would say to that is, you're right. It's like the people who challenge you the most are your healing angels. So let's talk the sound, because you said Stephen was breaking up earlier. How's it now? Is the sound, is it better now?
Yeah, it's coming in and out. It's almost like as soon as he gets to a power thing, I hear like a little bit of breaking up. And what he's saying is so powerful that I don't want even an ounce of any of his words to be lost.
I understand,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
cool.
It's just choppy,
I guess
a little bit.
Okay.
You guys are fine
the energy
throughout the whole show, but at this moment, there's choppiness.
Okay. Well, hopefully Michael heard it. And what I would add to that, Michael, is, you know, the people who challenge you the most are really your healing angel. Now, you say you find yourself fighting more about the Bible. What are you fighting? What are you defending? Because truth needs no defense. If you have to prove what you know, if you have to prove something, I mean, his Bible, if you use it for your spiritual development, then you don't have time to be debating or fighting with anybody about it. So, you know, if you're clear about what you know, then you don't fight it. Nobody fights and says, he said 2 + 2 = 5. And I just can't stand people like that who believe you. Listen, no, you just kind of look at them and think, okay, they must know that there's something. They need to go back to school or something. But, you know, the whole idea of truth, when it touches your consciousness, you'll never be the same. So I invite you to, if you're reading the Bible, to pull out the truth for you. And those who worship differently from you, they just worship differently from you. There's nothing to fight about. As Stephen said, we are all one. It's amazing how humans will fight about religion and God is not even tripping about whatever religion, no religion. Like, how arrogant. Anyway, let's do the next question before we release.
Sure.
Got three questions before we release it. Go ahead.
Okay. This is from Pamela. I've been searching for the God of my understanding for so long, and I'm not sure I really believe that there is a God. I would like to talk about my feelings about this, but people get nervous when you use the A word. I'm an uncomfortable atheist. Are there any tools I can use to explore this further?
Sorry, what was the last sentence of that question?
Yeah. I'm an uncomfortable atheist. Are there any tools I can use to explore this further? Pamela.
Yeah, there are some tools. First, I would like to say that if you're an atheist, like, that's completely fine. You don't have to be ashamed of it. To be honest, in my opinion, I don't think God cares what we believe. I don't think he's gonna look down and say, like, oh, you don't believe I exist, or you get more brownie points because you believe I exist in the right way. He's going to look at the condition of their heart. Are they carrying out love, compassion? Are they kind? Are they peaceful? So if you're walking from that place within your heart, then you're already walking the path of God unknowingly. And you don't have to have, like, a mental comprehension, or you don't have to know that you're walking the path of God in order to walk the path of God. Just like you don't have to know that light is a particle, and it's also a wave, and it's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. You don't have to know all of the physics of light to understand what light is. And as long as you are in touch with your heart, and you are kind and compassionate, then you are living the path of God, and you're God's child, whether or not you believe in God. But as far as tools go, if you're asking for tools to create a divine experience within you, I would suggest meditation. I would suggest nature walks. I would suggest deep, honest reflection. Looking around you at the world, seeing the beauty in a flower, seeing the beauty in yourself in the mirror, the complexity of the brain, of the eye, looking at the infinity of space that surrounds us at all times, and saying, like, did this really happen for no reason? Is this really just the play of random processes within the laws of physics? And then the next question arises, well, why are there laws of physics? Where do these intelligent principles come from? Why are there fixated laws? And why do things abide by these fixated laws? There's a series of, like, philosophical questions that can be asked, which kind of promote, like, a trigger in the mind to say, hey, wait a minute, like, that actually makes sense. Like, for example, there's something called the cosmological argument for God's existence. And what this is it's the argument that whatever created this universe, whatever created space and time, whatever caused space and time, cannot itself already be in space and time. And the definition of what supernatural is that which is beyond nature. So if you believe that there was an initial cause to the universe, and that cause necessarily transcends space, time, matter, change, then you already believe in a force that is supernatural. You already believe in something beyond nature, and you don't even really realize it. So there are different arguments for God's existence. If you want to message me on my regular Facebook profile, I could provide you with some more if you're interested in something like that. But the best advice I could give would be to be really just keep carrying out love, keep carrying out grace, keep living from a space of truth, and focus less on what you believe, because that really doesn't matter to anyone else in this world, or to God, for that matter.
That's it. It's really simple. You know, Celeste, was there somewhere in the question where she said she was uncomfortable about the health? Like, hey, what's the A word? I'm an uncomfortable atheist. Right, that's it. I mean, relax. Not that deep. You know, just, you know, Stephen spoke to it. Take time to just be still and know who and what God is for you. Period. Don't even bother trying to get other people's opinion, because that's all it is. What you're hearing me say, this is just my experience. Don't take what I say. But I recommend meditation. If it doesn't work for you, let it go. Stephen talks about taking a walk in the forest. Just really get it still and get comfortable with wherever you are. If you're calling yourself an atheist and you're uncomfortable, why? Why are you even calling yourself that? I mean, just be no label. You know, just say, would you believe in God? You can say no. But really, clearly, the fact that you're asking the question is there is a journey. There's a process of self-discovery going on. But just get still. What you're searching for is searching you. What you seek is seeking you. Just right where you are. You know, just be still. Relax. Stephen Bankhurst, thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio. And, you're truly an inspiration, my brother. You're truly an inspiration.
Thanks for having me on again, man. It's been a lot of fun.
You're very welcome. Peace and blessings. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. We're getting ready to release the show. We have one more question, right? We've got one more question. Okay, let's see. Okay, go. Okay, let's do the last question, Celeste. Are you there, Celeste?
Yes, I'm right.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Celeste? Are you there? Celeste, I can't feel you, Celeste. I can't see you. I'm kidding. I can hear you. Go ahead.
No, you give you the slap of reality. Like, wake up, I'm right.
You won't do that. You won't do that. You love me too much to slap me. So I'm not even worried about you. All right, let's do the last question.
All right, here we go. My religious experience was more about guilt and manipulation than really experiencing the love of God. How do I really tap into feeling one with the one? Scott.
Oh, we talked about it already. I mean, get still. Pray. Pray. Prayer is one thing that we didn't talk about. Prayer is not praying. I mean, it could be whatever it is for you. But for me, prayer is not begging God or besieging God or hoping God will answer your prayer. Prayer is a shift in consciousness. You know, just take some time to sit with yourself and reflect on your life. Look at your body. Look at your fingers. Look at your arms. Move them. Move your fingers. And just kind of contemplate, wow, is it moving because I'm doing it? But how does my fingers know to move? I mean, really just go deep and just get still. Breathe and listen to your breath. And, you know, you get still long enough that you feel your heart beating. Those are things you can't explain. You know, yeah, the whole idea of God manipulation is because people are afraid. People are afraid of love. Love is so powerful that people are scared of it, even though people say, I want to be loved. But the truth is, on a human level, we're afraid of love because love will come into your world and burn off all your stuff. When you invite love into your presence, as I always say, all your issues will run like roaches. Because either your issue says, I'm out of here, too much love, or you're going to be so full of yourself, so in love, so high, that you download the solution to your so-called problem, that you get to see that guilt is not necessary. Where there's love, there's no room for guilt. Where there's guilt, there's no love. Where there's love, there's no need for manipulation. All of that lives in fear. So you can read, listen to music, go hang out with little children. They will remind you about God so quick. Look into people's eyes. Offer an act of kindness. Offer love. And tap into the reason you're on this planet. And that goes for everybody that has emailed in their question. Tap into what you're really here to do on this planet. What is God's vision for your life? Why are you here? When you get caught up in that, when you get caught up in the vision for your life, you ain't got time for all that other stuff. You just don't have the time for it. You don't have time to debate the Bible, the Quran, the sacred yes, the power of now. There's no point in debating it when you know. You don't get attached to labels. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I'm a death. I don't believe in life after death. It doesn't matter. If you don't believe it, they don't believe it. It's okay. What do you believe? What do you know for sure? What is true for you? That's the real question. And truly, today's topic is called Cultivating a Loving Relationship with the Divine. Here's a trick. Come closer, Scott. Come here. The truth is, cultivate a loving relationship with yourself. And you will be cultivating a loving relationship with God. Because when you know yourself, you would know God. When you know God, you would know yourself. It's one and the same. When you know spirit, when you know source, when you know the creator, whatever name you want to call it, it's not that deep. We can all relax. Take a breath. I always say that, you know, there might be a fundamentalist out there saying they don't like so-and-so because they're part of a certain religion. But if that person was going through a health challenge and they need an organ transplant, I've never heard of somebody saying, well, if you're going to get me a kidney, a liver, a lung, or whatever, make sure they're Christian, make sure they're vegan, make sure they're vegetarian. The person just wants to live. When life calls out to life, all the labels dissolve. Are you right there, Celeste?
Yes.
I still got you. Okay, good. All right, Celeste, we're getting ready to release the show. Anything else you want to share, add before we go?
No, it's a powerful show, and we didn't get the love out to Mother Wit, so I want to thank her for joining us. She was laughing at you about they run like roaches. Go a day, she said.
Mother Wit, if that is there too. Thank you all for tuning in, all of you that listen, those of you that are, you know, sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the show, for being part of this conversation. We really, really appreciate you. And yeah, we invite you to contribute to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Feel free to donate whatever you have. If you feel the show has inspired you, touched you in some way, and yeah, you know the story is about money. Yeah, whatever it is, $1, $5, $10, $100, $10,000. We ain't too proud to beg. As a matter of fact, we ain't proud and we don't beg. You can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com and there's a button there. There's a button. Or go to the like page, it's Life Conversations Radio like page, or the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show like page. And all you've got to do to know love, to know yourself, is to trust the love. Celeste, thank you for multitasking and all that you do. I love and appreciate you. And
yeah,
I will talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
All right, darling, thank you very much. I'll see you later. Peace and blessings. I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'm inviting you all, those of you who are listening, if you can hear this show, be love. It is the essence of your being. And be true to yourself. Be true to yourself, because your struggle for freedom is simply a desire to be authentic. You know that. The struggle for freedom is really the demand to be authentic. Trust love and allow yourself to be loved. What the world needs is love. Sweet love. I'm out of here. I will see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. And a reminder, so you have no reason to go a day without Life Coach Ade. Talk to you tomorrow.
And love will have the final word. No one ever loses when one trusts love. For love is something that will not ever fail. Love is the essence of the spirit that is known by all. Love renews, yes, love renews. Love is a healer.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.